Chapter 13.
Aaron, God of punishment, we are humbled and honored by your presence,
Mariah said as she slid off the bed and dropped to her knees. Oh, yeah, I murmured before I knelt before him. And I did miss you at the last ceremony, though Manaco was an interesting fella. Well, I can't bless all of them, Aaron chuckled. I look biased, and gods are supposed to be as neutral as possible, even if we do want good to defeat evil. Besides, it's better for you to have the support of multiple gods. It benefits you more than you realize.
How so?
Mariah wondered. Having the blessings of a god can influence other parts of the universe, he explained. For example, if the god of nature is on your side, you would have plants and animals that help you. I already have nature magic, I raised a confused eyebrow. That already puts nature on my side, right? Not necessarily, Aaron said. It just gives you access to the power. It doesn't determine whether or not nature will help you on its own. If you say so, I said with a shrug. What are you doing here, anyway? I go what I want, dragon, the god replied in a low voice. A shiver passed through me as the god of punishment quietly reminded me of his power, and I reminded myself to watch my mouth around the gods. Even though I had their blessing, I still had to be diplomatic with them. Right, sorry. I lowered my head as I cleared my throat. I came to remind you of our plan, he continued, for you to complete the Redeemi Vincio ceremony with all 11 of the other noble sword bloodlines, so you can defeat the Demon King and close the breach that threatens this world. Fuck, I groaned. You are powerful, dragon, the god said, but you aren't ready yet. The Demon King is beyond anything you've ever seen before. He's a big bully, I muttered. Guys like that have a bigger bark than their bite. I've seen it dozens of times. You've never seen this, he argued. Your pride cannot outweigh your intelligence right now. You've seen his ability to project himself into your dreams and your mind. Have you ever faced such a power before? Well, no, I admitted. But Olivier could travel all over the place, so maybe he just didn't try that. No, he couldn't do it, Aaron said. Because he was a mortal with great power, but the Demon King is a supernatural force. We believe he was created within the underworld, which puts him in a completely different category than your previous foes. How was he created? I wondered. Ah, I only have a few suspicions, the god replied, as he ran his fingers through his golden hair. Nothing has been confirmed just yet. Wait a second, I said with wide eyes. You guys don't even know where he came from?
Nothing is certain, young dragon, Aaron chuckled. Especially in the underworld. We don't have full access there like we do here on Inati.
So you can't control anything there? I pressed.
Control? He repeated and clucked his tongue. Not at all. That's part of what makes the Demon King a difficult threat. His world is not ours, and we can't say without a doubt how his power would affect this realm.
Are you saying his power could change if he makes it here? I asked.
It's possible, the god hedged. Just as yours changed when you arrived, his could do the same thing. Without us knowing exactly where his power comes from, we can't risk allowing him into this realm, and his power growing even more.
What if his power comes from the underworld? I suggested. Then his power would be tied there, and he'd get weaker coming here, right?
Unlikely. Aaron shook his head. Especially if he comes through and leaves the breach open. Then he could access whatever power he has in both realms. It might make him nearly unstoppable.
My lord, he's right,
Mariah whispered.
The gods know more than we do.
It sounds like they don't actually know much at all, I countered. It's a bunch of guesswork. Maybe he'll get stronger, maybe he won't. Shouldn't I just kill him now and answer those questions?
You don't get it, the god grunted. If we don't know, you can't just throw yourself in there and give it a try, especially without having all the power of the noble swords. I have impenetrable scales, regeneration, and a dozen kinds of magic I've assimilated. I counted off my skills on my fingers. Not to mention all the abilities I've gained from the bonds with some of the other noble swords. There's no way the Demon King is still stronger than me.
Gods, you're stubborn, Aaron said with an eye roll. All right, it's time for you to see for yourself.
See what? I asked.
This.
The God of Punishment strode over to me and grabbed my arm. Before I could react, we spun out of my chambers and through some kind of magical portal. Then my feet hit the ground, and I nearly tumbled forward, but Aaron held tight to me. It felt like I'd been on a boat for the last year, and finally stepped on land, and my mind was still spinning when I looked at the God of Punishment with a confused glare.
What the hell?
I muttered, as I got my legs under me. What was that?
A little godly transportation, he chuckled. Are you ready?
Shouldn't you have asked me that first? I looked around and took in a sharp breath.
What is this?
It looked like the White Jade Temple, but the white marble walls were cracked and broken. The roof had caved in, and small tendrils of black smoke curled into a dark sky. The stench of miasma was overpowering, and I couldn't even see beyond the crumbling walls around the courtyard, thanks to more puffs of black smoke that hovered over the Mihiretti Mountains. It looked like a miasma nuke had been dropped onto the palace, and my heart seemed to pound in my chest when I realized Rodion had to be in this disaster somewhere. I took off at a dead sprint toward the castle, and Aaron trotted along behind me without a word. I nearly fell into a gaping hole in the floor of the entry, but I jumped over it and pounded up the dilapidated stairs to the second floor. Then I turned toward the king's bedchambers and pulled up short. The entire wall to his room was gone, and I had a clear view of Rodion's stone balcony and the disastrous sky beyond it. His chambers were filled with black ash, and only his bed seemed to be in somewhat normal shape. The king sat in his high-backed chair, but instead of watching the breach as he normally did, he turned the chair to face his room and held his face in his hands. He didn't seem to register my appearance, and I ran over to put my hand on his shoulder. My hand went right through him.
What the hell?
I turned to Aaron.
Am I dead? A ghost? What's going on here?
You can't interact with a future path, he explained mildly. You're just an observer. What do you see?
I see the king not even watching the breach anymore, I murmured, as I looked down at Rodion with a frown. Like he isn't even trying to keep the seal in place.
Because the seal has already been destroyed,
Aaron said, and pointed out to what was left of the railing.
See for yourself.
I clenched my jaw as I walked toward the edge of the stone balcony and looked out at the breach. In my world, the king's seal hovered over the giant rift and kept the demons from escaping. But what I saw in this future made my stomach twist into sick knots. Demons floated freely between Rama and the underworld. They went in and out in droves, and when they reached this realm, they walked on land with giant clawed feet and twisted their faces into horrifying grins. Some carried dead or dying people back into the breach with them, and I closed my eyes as the victims screamed in terror.
We have to stop this, I said through gritted teeth. Look at those poor people! What happens to them in the underworld?
I believe the equivalent on Earth is called hell, Aaron answered. Torture, death, rebirth, and then more torture is the standard protocol for the underworld.
Oh my gods, I muttered, then froze.
Take me to Hatra.
Are you sure?
He asked. I have to see it, I said, as I balled my hands into fists at my sides.
I have to know what happens.
Aaron frowned before he grabbed my arm once more, and we spun through the portal again. I was a little readier this time for the landing, but it still took me a moment to get my bearings. When I did, I felt the blood drain from my face.
I hadn't even realized we'd landed within the city walls of Hatra. All the buildings we'd worked so hard to rebuild were demolished, including the Lunar Palace. Not even the domed roof of my home remained among the rubble, and a handful of demons still picked their way across the city with their long claws. They pulled dead bodies from the wreckage and threw them over their shoulders like trophies before they moved on to other areas. "The eggs," I whispered, as I ran toward where the Lunar Palace once stood. I shoved crumbling rocks out of the way as I dug through the debris, but all I found was pieces of the dresser that held the dragon's eggs Valera had kept safe for so long. The gold-plated storage was completely destroyed, and my heart sank in my chest. I only found solace in the fact that I didn't see any bodies in the rubble. The palace may have been destroyed, but it seemed like my family had survived the attack. I just didn't know where they'd gone. Then I had an idea. If they weren't in Hatra, they had to have found somewhere safe to hide out. And I knew the one place that kept my dragon mate safe for years before I'd arrived in this world. I wasn't sure if it would work, but I needed to try. I shifted into my dragon form, and Aeron watched me with an arched eyebrow. Then I nodded to him and took off into the sky. As I flew higher and higher, I was aware the god of punishment somehow managed to float along beside me, but I didn't question it. I needed to know about my family. When I reached the Crimson Canyons, my wings faltered, and my mouth went dry as I saw the sand below me. The cave where Valera spent hundreds of years protecting her sister's egg had collapsed. Boulders laid in front of the mouth of the cave and had tumbled down the side of the canyon. I couldn't see or hear any movement from inside, but I flew closer to make sure.
"It doesn't matter if they're inside," Aeron pointed out as we hovered in front of the blocked entrance.
"Why wouldn't it matter?" I demanded. "If they're in there, I know they're alive and safe."
"The Demon King has told you what he'd do to your family a dozen times," the god murmured. "Do you think he wouldn't follow through with it if he has escaped the breach?"
I slowly lowered to the ground with the sudden urge to vomit as Aeron's words hit me like a punch to the gut. He was right. The Demon King obviously hated me, and I had no doubt he would make sure I regretted turning down his offers and promising his demise. In this future, there was no chance my family was safe and happy somewhere. And there was no way I'd let that happen.
"Okay," I finally said. "What makes this future happen? I have to stop it." "This is the future where you decided to fight the Demon King today," Aeron said.
My heart stopped for a few seconds. "Today," I exhaled. "I wanted to go fight with him when I woke up."
"Yes," Aeron agreed. "You did. And this would be the result of that fight. You see, when you decide to take the fight to the breach, some of your people go with you. Those who go are lucky to suffer the same fate as you, death in battle. The others are left here to be captured by the demons and hell beasts."
"They all die." I could feel my chest tighten at the thought. "What about Rodion? Why is the palace destroyed?"
"He leaves to help you," the god continued. "In doing so, he weakens his hold on the seal, and all the underworld breaks loose. He only survives the fallout because of his magic, but he is unable to save you or anyone else. I don't think he'll allow his life to continue much longer. He'd rather die on his own terms than at the hands of the Demon King."
Everything was clear to me now. I'd been stubborn to believe I was ready to fight something even the gods didn't understand yet. And I had to take the time to do things the right way. If I didn't, everyone I loved would deal with the consequences of my decision, and it was selfish of me to think they wouldn't. I looked down at my large talons and midnight black scales. All the power I held wouldn't be enough to defeat an ancient evil with unknown amounts of power and knowledge. I still had plenty to learn, and I needed to take the time to do it. I shifted back into my human form with a sigh. I was still powerful in this smaller version, but it made no difference when it came to the Demon King. I had to have the power of the noble swords. My entire world depended on it. You've made your point, Ghost of Christmas Future, I sighed. We can go home now.
It isn't just you who fights this war, Lord Evan, Aeron reminded me in a gentle voice. You have your family, the gods, and the people of Inati on your side. Which means they will also be the ones who take on the pain and suffering if you do not succeed.
And I won't succeed if I go today, I murmured. I understand now.
There won't be any more lessons, young dragon, he said firmly. You must remember this one.
I couldn't forget it if I tried, I replied with a grimace. Can we get out of here, please?
The god of punishment nodded before he grasped my arm, and as we spun through the webs of time and space, I closed my eyes until my feet hit the cool stone floor of my bedroom. Then I sat back onto the bed and put my face in my hands.
I'll leave you to your thoughts, Aeron said.
Before I could reply, there was a gust of wind, and he was gone. I didn't particularly want to be alone with my thoughts, and I was grateful to see Mariah had already woken Skye and Aliona.
My love, are you all right?
The princess asked, as she crawled across the bed to sit next to me.
Yeah, I nearly whispered, before I turned around and hugged her.
Skye and Mariah scooted closer, and I wrapped my arms around all three of them and held back tears. The thought of losing even one of my women wrenched at my soul, and I knew I'd do whatever it took to keep them all safe, even if that meant setting my pride to the side for a while.
Where did he take you?
Mariah asked after a moment.
The future where I fought the Demon King without bonding with all the swords, I answered. It was terrible.
I'm so sorry,
Aliona said, and pressed a kiss to my cheek.
He believes you aren't ready for the battle?
He knows I'm not, I replied as I shook my head. I'll never do that to my family or my people. I have to listen to the gods for now. It's the only way to make sure we win.
What was it like?
Skye wondered.
I don't even want to repeat it, I muttered. Just know that he made it clear where I need to focus my efforts. And it's not on a battle with the Demon King today.
My lovers looked at each other, but they didn't ask for more. And I was glad they didn't. I didn't want to talk about the things I'd seen, or the fates they would have suffered if Aeron hadn't intervened.
I'm surprised he's pushing you so hard,
my wife mused. Why? I asked.
The god of punishment is not known for his patience or concern,
she explained.
It's been written for ages how he happily brings punishment to those who have done wrong, but he's tried very hard to keep you away from the wrong decisions.
If you'd seen the future he took me to, I think you'd understand, I said with a frown. Surely even a god who doles out punishment wouldn't wish that world on anyone.
Then you must take his knowledge with grace and appreciation,
she determined.
He believes you can prevent it, and he's going against everything he's known for to teach you. It is a rare gift from a god.
I won't let him down, I vowed. Or any of you. I can't stop this mission, and I won't, until I'm ready to fight the Demon King. When I'm strong enough, I'll rip him to shreds and feast on his bones. Then I'll burn what's left and make the underworld demons regret the day they were created.
The three women stared at me as my dragon instincts were laid bare. But I didn't mind. I knew I'd follow through with it when the time was right.
I think for now we should feast on some breakfast,
Skye said with a half smile. Good idea, I agreed. We all got dressed, and I could hear voices and laughter in the hall as we headed for the door. I opened the door to see Nike, Anya, Juniper, and the rest of my lovers had already started downstairs for breakfast. Then I caught a glimpse of a golden tail swaying around the corner, and we hurried to catch up with the others.
Do you feel better this morning, my lord?
Valera asked as she slowed down to meet me. Mostly, I hedged. I know I'm not going to fight the Demon King today, so don't worry about that.
Good.
My dragon mate dipped her head and continued down the stairs.
I mostly like having you around.
The rest of my lovers giggled as we rounded the bottom of the stairs and turned down the corridor to the dining hall. As soon as we walked into the room, the smell of roasted meat and eggs filled my nose, and I sighed with appreciation for Hatra's first-rate chef.
Forsyth seemed to always have food ready when we needed it, and I definitely needed it after last night and this morning's events. Even though Aaron said he'd leave me with my thoughts, I didn't have much to think about anymore. I knew what I had to do, and I wouldn't try to change our plans again. So I'd eat instead. Ruslan, Julia, and Emma were already seated at the table, and their muted conversation came to a grinding halt as we made our way to our chairs and sat down.
"Good morning," my father greeted me after a moment. "Did you sleep well?"
"Not great," I admitted as I ran my fingers through my hair. "But I'm thinking a lot more clearly now. We just need to find the next noble of the sword."
"Excuse me, my lord."
We all turned to see Callan in the doorway.
"So sorry to intrude on your breakfast. I can come back."
"Nonsense, brother," I insisted, and motioned toward an empty chair. "Join us. You're always welcome here."
"Thank you, Lord Evan,"
the dragon said with a slight blush before he sat down.
"I'm grateful for all the kindness you and your people have shown me. I have a job now."
"Do you?" I chuckled. "And what is your job?"
"I'm working for Arthur at the bakery,"
Callan answered and looked down at his plate.
"I've always wanted to do something with myself, but I was never really the raid villages and pillage gold kind of dragon, so I find the bakery very fulfilling."
"That's the guy who made the chocolate cake, right?" I asked Ruslan.
"Yes, Arthur and his family have been here for a few months now,"
my father confirmed.
"He's provided many sweets for our people."
"Nice," I said with a grin. "I'm glad you're fitting in so well, Callan. I hope to find more of our kind soon."
"Do you think they'll answer your message, my lord?"
Aliona asked. "I hope so," I replied. "If Callan didn't know Olivier was dead, then maybe more dragons don't know and have stayed in hiding. Even if they just come here to tell us they're alive and run away, I'd be happy knowing there were more of us. Well, not that I had a problem with repopulating the dragon species on our own." I shot a mischievous look at Valera, who blushed and stuck out her tongue.
"My lord, I do have another question," Callan said in a quiet voice.
"What's up?" I looked at him and cocked my head to the side.
"I was wondering what you've discovered about the sorcerer assassin and his employer,"
he nearly whispered. "I'd been planning to interrogate Dolian once we got him on the airship, but we'd left for Capacia the next day, and I hadn't even thought about it again since. Knowing the assassin had been aiming for Callan, I could understand why my fellow dragon wanted answers, and I intended to get them for him. Now that we're back, I'll find out everything we need to know," I promised. "Do you want to come along?"
"If that's okay with you,"
he said and furrowed his brow.
"I'll need to know who sent him after me, since I know the sage is dead. I have a lot of questions for him."
"Then we'll go together." I dipped my head and then gestured toward my plate. "But first, let's fill our bellies. Sound good?"
"Much better than the fish I've been eating for months,"
the green dragon chuckled. We resumed breakfast, though the table conversation had died down to a few murmurs here and there. Thinking about Dolian and the impending conversation we were about to have seemed to have left most of us to our own thoughts, until my aunt broke the silence.
"Do you, want all of us to go, to see this guy?"
she asked. "No," I said with a smile. "Callan and I'll go. The rest of you can stay here and figure out the next stop on our mission."
"Okay,"
Emma breathed with relief.
"I like that plan."
"We can get the map with the noble sword locations from the memory spell,"
Aliona said as she took Emma's hand.
"No need for us to deal with the assassin."
Emma squeezed my wife's hand and smiled at her. The rest of us returned to our plates until they were empty, and then I looked at Callan.
"Are you ready?" I asked.
The green dragon gulped.
"Yeah, I think so."
"He can't hurt you now," I assured him. "He's in a cell, and we have his staff, so no more magic."
"Right,"
he replied, though he didn't seem fully convinced. I started to insist, but I held off. If Callan was already worried, it didn't matter what I told him. Either way, it was important for him to face his fear of Dolian. So I decided it would be better to make sure we had what we needed to get through to the assassin. "Mariah, would you mind joining us?" I asked the spirit.
"Of course, my lord,"
she agreed. In the blink of an eye, the sword spirit appeared in my spiritual sea, and we were off to the airship.
Callan didn't talk on our way across the city, but I noticed he'd made a few friends since his arrival, and he waved or smiled at them as we walked together. The green dragon had already begun to fit in here, and I hoped there were many more of our kind who would do the same.
"Is he all right?"
Mariah asked in a worried tone. "Yeah, he's just nervous," I replied. "We're going to talk to the guy who nearly killed him. It isn't easy for a guy who doesn't have people trying to kill him every day."
"True,"
she murmured. When we reached the ramp on the airship, Callan took a deep breath before he followed me onto the wooden planks and into the floating boat. We were greeted at the entrance by two Blue Tree Guild soldiers, who looked at Callan with questioning eyes but didn't doubt me. They allowed us through, and I started to try to find my way to the cells when Pyotr rounded a corner and strode toward us with his arms wide open.
"Lord Evan, what a pleasant surprise," the elder wolf demihuman said. "I wondered if you'd be back to visit your prisoner."
"We have a few questions for him," I confirmed.
"All right, I'll let my men know," he replied. "Thank you for bringing Onaro back safely. He's still struggling with his memory, but his health is great."
The snake demihuman was healed from the sleeping curse, but he hadn't been able to remember what or who had cursed him before we found him in the jungle. "His memory still hasn't returned?" I gnawed on my bottom lip in thought for a moment. "Let's go see him first, then we'll go to the cells." Callan seemed a little relieved by the change in plans, and he traipsed along behind Pyotr and me as we headed for the infirmary. I was glad we'd run into Laika's grandfather before we tried to find anything on our own, since we weaved through many halls and passageways until we reached the medical wing. Serona, the medic, sat at the desk near the wall and stopped scribbling notes when she heard us walk in.
"Lord Evan,"
she gasped.
"I didn't know you were coming."
"It's all right," I chuckled. "I just wanted to check on our patient. How's Onaro doing?"
"He woke up about 20 minutes ago,"
the rabbit demihuman replied as she gestured to the door behind her.
"He's in the shower, but he should be out any minute."
"Nothing on his memory yet?" I frowned.
"No,"
she said, and her ears flopped back and forth as she shook her head.
"It's the strangest thing. I've used every memory, healing, and non-magical remedy I can find, but he says it's a total blank."
"Can't you heal him?" Callan asked me with a confused look on his face. "Well, I tried," I explained, and pursed my lips. "It didn't work."
"You tried to heal them before you gained another power,"
Mariah reminded me.
"Between the regeneration and the Sword of the Land's ability, it might be possible now."
The sword spirit had a point. Maybe I wasn't ready to bring a fight to the Demon King just yet, but I could be ready to do something else I hadn't been ready for yet either. "Okay, I'll try again," I said aloud.
"Try what again?"
Onaro asked as he walked into the infirmary. The snake demihuman looked considerably healthier, and his yellow eyes were bright with curiosity as he cocked his head to the side. "Healing your memory," I answered. "Are you okay with that?"
"Of course, my lord," he replied with a hurried nod. "I want to know what happened to me more than anything."
"All right, just sit down and I'll give it a shot." I pointed to the hospital bed. Onaro plopped down on the bed and put his hands in his lap, and he practically vibrated with excitement as he waited for me to begin. I took a deep breath as I walked over to the bed and put my hands on his shoulders. Something told me I needed the physical contact to fully heal his memory, even though I'd never had to have it before. I closed my eyes and called on my healing power. It was the most natural ability I had. But I held it in my chest for a moment as I summoned the other magic I'd gained. Sparks and surges of energy rolled under the surface of my skin as I gripped Onaro's shoulders. Then I released him. It was like an entire storm raged out of my body and plunged into the snake demihuman's torso. His body shook as though he'd been hit with lightning, and his eyes rolled back in his head while my power coursed through his veins.
"Oh my gods," Pyotr whispered.
I gritted my teeth and pushed my healing power through Onaro until I sensed a wall. My energy surged against it like a wave crashing into a dam, and I squeezed Onaro's shoulders tighter as I pushed harder and harder against the wall. Something told me his memory waited on the other side, and I would stop at nothing to break through.
You're close, my lord,
Mariah whispered.
Stay strong.
The sword spirit's energy added to my own, and her pure white power seemed to ignite my own magic and double its strength. Flames licked over the wall in Onaro's mind, and I gave one last push. The wall tumbled down, and I released the snake demihuman with a gasp for air. He clutched at the sheets, and I opened my eyes to see his brown scales ripple across his throat as he gulped in sharp breaths. I wasn't sure if I'd helped or not until his eyes finally rolled forward, and he met my stare with his mouth wide open. Onaro, I asked softly, are you all right?
Gods above, he muttered. It worked. So you remember what happened?
Pyotr stepped forward and stood next to me.
Tell us everything. When I awoke to someone taking me from the camp, I was knocked back out with a blow to the head, Onaro explained. But I awoke again near the river. I opened my mouth to call out for help, but a human man stopped me with some kind of magical spell. I could no longer speak, though I tried in vain for several seconds. Then he laughed as he pulled some sort of sachet from his robes and poured a gray dust into his hand. Before I could react, he blew the powder into my face, and I passed out again. When I woke up again, it was when I spoke those strange words to you guys.
Can you describe the man? I pressed.
Honestly, my lord, he was so plain, Onaro said with a grimace. He had no markings on his face. His skin was pale, and he had no hair.
What about his smell or his clothes? Callan wondered.
He smelled like the jungle, the snake shrugged. And his robes were black, no emblem.
That's disappointing, I murmured. I wonder if the researchers remember anything more than that.
They should be back from breakfast any moment,
Serona chimed in.
I'm sure they'd be happy to have their memories back. It's all they've talked about for days.
All right, we'll wait for a few minutes, I decided. It didn't take long for the research team to return to the infirmary, and they looked both surprised and excited when they saw me in the room.
Have you found a cure?
Violet asked before she cleared her throat and seemed to wipe the hopeful look from her face. I found a way to heal you, I said. I don't think I can do it to all of you at once, but I'll heal each of you. Just have a seat.
And get ready for a shock, Onaro added with a smirk.
The looks of optimism slowly faded into apprehension as each of the researchers sat on their respective beds and waited their turns. I started with Violet, and as I broke through the wall in her memory, she burst into tears.
Oh, gods!
She sobbed.
I swear, these are tears of happiness, my lord. I've never experienced something like that before.
It's understandable, I said, and smiled. What did you remember?
A man,
Violet murmured.
He said he was lost, but when we got close enough to examine his map, he blew this dust all over us. Then we were asleep until you woke us up here. Oh, gods, that thing we said was really strange.
Yeah, I chuckled. It was. Do you remember anything distinctive about the man?
I wish I did.
She looked down at her lap.
He just seemed so ordinary, so harmless. We were prepared for jungle creatures, not a monster that looked like a man.
It's okay, I said as I patted her hand. We'll catch him. I moved down the line and healed each member of the research team, only to hear the same version of events each time. Boring guy blows dust, they go night-night. I wasn't sure what comfort I could bring them yet, but I promised to find this man and make sure he paid for what he'd done to them. The walls in their memory gave me an idea for myself, but I'd have to focus on that later. Right now, I had to handle other business on the airship.
Do you know what you're going to do, my lord?
Pyotr asked in a quiet voice as I rejoined him and Callan by the door. Not yet, I replied. But I won't let him get away with this.
I figured as much.
The old wolf demihuman offered a wistful smile before he motioned for the hallway.
Ready for the prisoner?
Yes, I said with a nod. He might need some healing after I'm done with him. Callan shivered but didn't argue as he followed Pyotr and I out of the infirmary and around the airship to the cells. The guard greeted Pyotr at the door and offered me a bow, and then he stepped out of the way for us to enter the makeshift prison. My eyes widened as I scanned the room. But before I could get any words out, Pyotr whirled around.
"Where is the prisoner?" he demanded.
In his cell," the guard stammered, and pointed before his face fell. "Oh, gods, he was just there 5 minutes ago."
"He couldn't have escaped," the interior guard insisted. "I was in a room. I walked back and forth the whole shift." "Well, he isn't in there, is he?" I snorted, as I walked over to the cell where Dolian had been. "Where the hell could he even go?"
"Not far," Pyotr muttered as he dropped his hand from his gorget. "I've already put the ship on lockdown. He won't be able to leave."
"He got out of a magically locked cell with 3 guards in the room," I pointed out with a curled lip. "Son of a bitch!"
I spun around in a fit of rage and kicked the cell door until it clanged open. Then Dolian appeared out of thin air in the cell with a devilish grin before he sprinted toward me.